lost.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right. The time is now 11:30, and we're going to get started here in just a second. All right. I want to welcome in all those who are listening to us. This is Brother Brandon Teague and with Faith Baptist Church, and we're here in Northeast Texas, and we want to be a blessing to you today, however you found us. We're glad you found us. Some on Blog Talk, some on YouTube, some on iTunes, and maybe even other places we haven't even heard about. So God is sowing the word along with us. We're putting it out there, and God's taking it and using it. And I refer to our good friend out there who has the YouTube channel of Redeemed KJV. I didn't ask the man. I assume it's a man. I've never even spoke to him personally, just to find out who he is and all about him, but I've communicated back and forth, and I'm very grateful for our inclusion in his YouTube channel. And by his YouTube channel, we're reaching out throughout the world and also through Blog Talk Radio. And I know that because I get the responses back from people who do listen to us, and I see the responses we get on our Old Paths Broadcast Facebook channel. And folks are welcome to log on to there, find us on there, the Old Paths Broadcast on Facebook, and just let us know that you're listening. If we've been a help to you, if you have a testimony, somebody has a testimony of how we've been a help to you, please let us know. Write to us and let us know. We wouldn't ask you for a penny of your money. We just simply would love to hear from you and know that God is blessing you through us, and that will help us. And if not, we'll find out when we all stand around the throne someday. But we'd sure love to praise God about it now, if that's the case. So in our Bible study this morning, we are in part 106 of Getting to Know Jesus. And there is no more important person for you to get to know in this life than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God in the flesh, the Son of the living God. We're thankful for Jesus, thankful for all he's done for us. He is my Savior. I am saved by his grace. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. Couldn't do a thing to have it. He loved me, and he gave himself for me, and I'm so thankful today. And as I've already talked to the folks that are here in front of me this morning, this is the last Sunday that will be coming to you in 2018. The next time we come back to you will be in 2019, if the Lord does not come first. And as we come to this end of the year, we come to a close of 2018, and it's a time to reflect and look back upon the accomplishments, the failures, the joys, the sadness, heartbreak, all the things that have taken place in 2018. And certainly our world is in turmoil. Our politics in this nation are in turmoil. The world is in turmoil. And it seems as though everything's coming to a head, and we don't know if this will be the last year we have upon this earth as believers, or if God grants us more time. But it brings us to a sobering point when we come to the end of the year for some reason. And I believe truly in my heart that we ought to take these kind of things into consideration every time we open our eyes, not just at the close of every year, but maybe every time we close our eyes to lay down to bed, and every time we open them, we ought to take these things into consideration. What have I done with God lately? What have I done for God lately? What time have I spent with God lately? How much have I talked to God lately? Because if we don't think about those things, we are wasting moments that He, God, has given us. We're wasting opportunities God has given us. And the most important opportunity that God can ever give anybody is the opportunity to accept His salvation that's given to them by grace. Grace meaning you didn't do a thing on this earth to earn it. It's by God's grace. Somebody said grace is an acronym. It stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. It cost Jesus Christ his life. It cost Jesus Christ his perfect blood that was shed, just like all the lambs that had been shed down through history by the Jews. Those lambs were simply a picture of the Lamb of God, whose blood would be shed for sinners. and Jesus' blood was shed for all the sins of all mankind. And if you, my friend, have believed that that blood was shed for you and you have trusted Christ to wash your sins away, then you are in good company, and we thank you for that. We thank you for being our brother and sister, and whichever you may be. We're glad that you're in the family of God, but there are people out there under the sound of my voice this morning who do not know that. Maybe they've had some kind of religious experience. Maybe you've had somebody tell you you were saved. Maybe you've been baptized under some denomination, but you do not have salvation. And if that's the case, then you need to listen very clearly, very carefully to the message this morning. Because before the close of this sermon, there's no reason why you, unless God is not working in your life, if God is drawing you, if God is showing you, there's no reason for you to leave this broadcast lost. Anyway, let's get into the message this morning. Let's look and see where we're at in the Bible. And we're in Luke chapter 13. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 5 this morning. And as we've been doing, I'm not going to read all the scripture, but let's go back to realize that way before chapter 12, Jesus is there, and he's in Judea somewhere. He's in a synagogue, or he's close to a synagogue, and a great multitude of people are gathering around. There are Pharisees. There are lawyers, as they call them, scribes. Who have been attacking his character, who have been trying to defame him, been trying to associate him with devils and demons, and trying to sow discord, trying to turn people away from the grace. And Jesus standing and talking to a crowd. This crowd keeps getting larger, to the point to where people are stepping on each other trying to get to Jesus. And in the middle of all this, where Jesus is speaking about the immortal soul, a man pops up and wants to ask a question about money. And Jesus addresses, he addresses that man without addressing him particularly. He addresses the subject of covetousness, about caring more about money and things of this world than they do about their own souls. And he's addressing the crowd as he's addressing this issue. And he talks about the anxieties of this life and how people get so caught up in material things, about what we're going to wear or how we look or how much money we've got. And we forget that our spirit within us is so much more important than the exterior. And we turn selfish. And we turn our eyes away from God in that regard. And Jesus is telling us we need to be watching for him to come back. Listen, and to these Jews, they didn't understand what he was saying to a degree, because they didn't believe he was the Messiah, first of all. So they couldn't understand he was speaking about his second coming, about when he establishes his kingdom on earth. But folks, he's coming back for us. He's coming back for believers. He's coming back to take us out of this world. The Bible says that when he left the Mount of Olives after his resurrection, the angel said, "Men of Galilee, why stand ye looking up into the sky? This same Jesus shall come in like manner as you've seen him go." He's coming back the same way he left, in the clouds. He was caught up in the clouds. He'll come back in the clouds, and we'll be caught up in the clouds to meet him in the air. Jesus then gave the parable about the faithful steward, about the one who did with what the Lord had given him. And there's the lesson to us, that we are to be faithful stewards. God has entrusted us with the gospel. He's saying it's not the money of this world that makes you rich. It's when we take the gospel of Jesus Christ and we share that gospel with other people, and they then in turn receive that gospel and become brothers and sisters in Christ. And folks come into the family of God, and the kingdom of God is established and built and grown because his people who love him share that and therefore help build that kingdom. And when he returns, he is going to reward based on our building, based on our work that we did for him, because we love him. Now, my friends, I'm going to tell you right now, believers better heed what I'm saying, because Jesus is not playing when he says these things. When he talks about the one, the unjust steward, the one who didn't do anything with it, I'm telling you right now, that's the one who's lost. That's the one who doesn't know. I mean, listen, he had it in his hands. Just like these Pharisees, these lawyers, they held the word of God in their hands, and they didn't understand it. They didn't care. They used it the wrong way. I'm telling you right now, I thank God I'm not in that category. But there are plenty of ministers all over this country who call themselves ministers, and yet they use the word of God, and they use it as a bully club to beat people over the head with, to extort money out of people. Listen, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a nightmare for them. But I'm going to tell you, there's something about that too for the one who doesn't do anything with what he's been blessed with. That one's going to have to stand there in judgment too. And they're going to, the Bible says, they shall be saved, yet so as by fire. They're going to have to go through something that we can't understand here on earth. I don't know. I can't explain it, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm talking to believers this morning, I wouldn't want to be in that category. I wouldn't want to be in that crowd who absolutely did zero with what God had given them. It's not going to be an easy time at the judgment seat of Christ for those. Then he goes on to say that he's not here to bring peace upon the earth. He goes on to tell them, I came to bring fire. I came to bring a sword. I came to bring division. People will turn against each other on account of me because they hate me. You know why? Because they had rather live in their sins. They had rather continue on living in their sins, relishing their sins, rather than they had come to Christ. All right. And then we get to this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. We're going to pray, and we're going to get into the message. Probably won't take that long. We don't have that much to cover, but I certainly want to give this as clearly as I possibly can. So he's not left this place. Okay? There, he is still in the same place where he was. The Bible says there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men and that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Father, in these next few moments, I ask you please to help me. Lord, I want to be the conduit you use to reach out to somebody that's lost without Jesus. Lord, please allow me to be that vessel where you pour out your gospel. You pour out the truth. Lord, you pour out the truth in undiluted form, Lord, and the Holy Spirit of God take it and bring that sinner to conversion. Bring that sinner to the point of repentance. Bring that sinner, Lord, to the point of salvation. Please, dear Jesus, I ask you, please, use your Holy Ghost to do it, Lord. And I pray you bring those folks to Calvary. And Lord, I pray they'd be saved. I pray, Lord, every one of us, Lord, even those of us that are saved, Lord, we sit and listen with rapt attention, Lord, that we sit and listen because we know this is true, and we love to hear it again, even though we have the message. We love to hear the message because it reminds us of what we have. Father, please speak to hearts today, and I'll give you all the glory, and I pray the Holy Ghost of God empower me. Lord, I can do nothing without you. I am nothing without you, Father. I pray that the Holy Ghost of God fill me, control me, and speak through me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please use me for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. So, again, we're still at the same place, still in the same discourse. And so, just like the man spoke up about, you know, can you help me about the situation with my brother and the money? There's some people who spoke up again, different group. These spoke up to try to throw out the question of, they wanted to tell him about something that had recently happened. This is a recent event, okay? So, and what was the recent event? They were present at that season, some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, I want to try to share with you who that was. There was, and I'm trying to remember the man, the name. Well, actually, it's here in the Bible. Actually, if you want to turn to Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10 for just a second, and we'll find out who they're talking about. Acts chapter 10. And verse 34. Wait a minute, That's not the right verse. That is not the right verse. Give me just a second. There is a, I don't know why I didn't write that down. Give me just a second, I'll find it. There was a man by the name of Judas, and I cannot remember his last name. For some reason, I didn't make note of it, and now it's failing me to remember who. But Judas, let me look one more place. Okay. Anyway, he was a leader of a group of Galileans, okay? And that's Galilee. That's where Jesus, they said anything, no, it was Nazareth, but I mean, he came out of Galilee. So this was a group of Galileans, and they followed a man named Judas, and not the same Judas that betrayed Jesus, but a different Judas. And this Judas basically was in rebellion against the Roman taxation. And he said, you know, we're not going to pay taxes to Rome. He wasn't very much different from tax protesters of this day and time. Okay, the only difference is the way that, well, I mean, it's not truly, truly any different, because if you don't pay taxes here, enough of them, then the IRS will come and they will arrest you and throw you in prison. Well, Pilate had his army looking for these people. Why? Because they wanted their tax money. So these men had come to wherever they went to the temple, I'm assuming Jerusalem, but whatever temple they sacrificed in, they had gone to do their sacrifices in the temple, and while they were sacrificing either lambs or bulls or whatever, they were there, Pilate's army, some of them came in, and they slew them right there while they were doing their sacrifices, and the Bible says, and their blood was mingled or mixed with the blood of their sacrifices, okay? So these men are in there, they're worshiping the Lord, or they're worshiping God, and giving their sacrifices, laying them on the altar, whatever, and whack, they're hit with a sword, and they're dead, and they die right there at the altar, and their blood mingled in with the sacrifices. And that's a horrible thing. It's a horrible way to die regardless. People die horrible deaths all the time. There were two Scandinavian girls, blonde-headed girls, they were in some country over in Europe or somewhere here recently, and they were attacked and raped and they were beheaded by a gang of Muslims. I mean, that was horrible too. Okay, they had no intention of going off to be raped and beheaded, but calamities happen. All through my life, I have seen calamities take place. And I guess what we're looking at is calamities in the scripture. Because again, Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Because see, they threw this question, they threw this up in the middle of all this. Jesus is, he was talking before. And remember what the last thing he said to him last week? He said, you can look at the western sky and you can see a cloud coming and you know that it's going to be rain. You can tell that. He said, and then you see the wind blowing out of the south and you can tell it's going to warm up. Y'all can tell the face of the sky and the earth. He said, but how is it that you discern not the time? You can't tell what's happening spiritually around you. And he told them, and I'm going to read this last verse to you, these last three verses of chapter 12 to you. He says, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou may be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence until thou hast paid the very last mite. Now, he's referring right there to, listen, you need to get right with God. If you don't, you're going to go to hell and you're going to pay everything you owe. That's what Jesus is referring to here. And so then people say, well, what about these Galileans that got killed? That's basically, they jumped up and they'll say, well, did you hear about those Galileans that got killed? They was trying to give their sacrifices, and Pilate just had them killed right there over the altar, and they bled to death right there on top of the blood of their sacrifices. What about that? That's what they were saying. What about that, Jesus? And Jesus came back at them. He said, do you think that they were worse sinners than the rest of the Galileans because something like that happened to them? Because, see, they're bringing it up like, well, this is a special circumstance here, Jesus. This horrible thing happened to them. They must have been terrible sinners. And what did he say? He said, I tell you, nay, no. But except ye repent, those of you, all of you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Does that mean you're all going to be killed at the altar of sacrifice? No, but he's saying you're all going to suffer something you don't want to suffer. He said, are those eight, and Jesus brings up an event. Jesus brings up a recent event. He said, are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? So 18 men had been killed when a tower in Siloam fell on them. That's a horrible thing. Horrible. As I was talking before the sermon started, we were talking about that man who was crushed. He got between an 18-wheeler and a dock here at one of the local plants, and the 18-wheeler backed up and crushed him. That's horrible. And I know his family, they when they heard of how he died, I'm sure they were horrified by it. We've got family members. My daughter-in-law lost her brother. He got caught in the drilling in the drill stem of a drilling rig, and it wound him up. Basically tore him apart. It's horrible. You know, I mean, I know people. I've got friends who've lost children, who had wrecks, and they died. And you think to yourself, it's horrible, it's terrible. Why did that happen to them? And you know, and from time to time throughout my life, I've heard, you know, well, when somebody who maybe they've lived a rough life, maybe they were of the criminal sort, and they died in the middle of committing a crime. You say, well, you know, they got what they deserved. I've heard people talk like that. You know, calamities take place. And a lot of times when they do, people either say, well, they deserve that, or how did God let something like that happen to such and such or so and so? We tend to judge the way a person died, say, well, there must have been something in their life we didn't know about, something like that happened to them. I've heard people talk like that all my life. When some calamity happens to somebody. But, folks, I want you to understand something. Calamities don't fit the sins of the ones that died. Terrible things happen to good people and bad people. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. So the title this morning, I guess, would be Calamities Happen, Are You Ready? Because they do happen. They do take place. Jesus is using those what they're saying to bring people back to reality. But I want to stay on that subject just for a minute and make it clear from the Bible that the calamity that happens to somebody doesn't fit the sins of that person. See, here's the thing we forget. Judgment doesn't come in this world. It really doesn't. Judgment does not come in this world. Okay, all kinds of things happen to people in this world that are not just. You know, we see all the time, or used to not see it. I mean, you used to hear about things on television, on the news, and things of that nature. But in this day and time, this day of technology we live in, you see people get killed on your phone. You see people in car wrecks get killed. You see people get shot by the police and videos. You see all kinds of things happen And you see people die. We never seen all that before until technology brought all that to us. But we've seen, or at least I have, I don't know what you've seen, but I've seen, you know, wicked men die in the streets committing the crimes, you know, and they die as a result of it. But do you realize there are preachers that die behind pulpits giving a message? They didn't know when they put on their suit and tie that morning and stepped behind that wooden pulpit, that'd be the last time they ever stepped up there, and they never stepped down. See? And somebody said, well, how horrible. He died in the middle of all that. Well, yeah. We don't know when we're going to go. That's the thing. We have no idea when we're going to go. I was turning to Acts chapter 10 earlier, but I'm going to turn over there again. I'm going to read you that verse. It's where Peter, he made this proclamation. He said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He's not. God, listen, sometimes God just allows by his providence good men to die in horrible ways. And the first one that came to my mind, Mama, was that of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot and four other men, they got burdened about an unreached tribe called the Aka, I think it's Aka, is that how you say it? The Aka people of Ecuador. And these people had never been reached by anybody else before, and they were a very hostile tribe. And so what they did, they started flying a plane over and dropping gifts to these people. And these people would put gifts out for them. And they did that back and forth for a while, for months. And then finally, they landed their plane out on this little peninsula, a little bit away from the people. And, well, they came in the night and they speared them to death. Now, Jim Elliot, what a brave man. Him and the rest of his crew, they were a brave bunch of people. They went in there to do something for the Lord with a pure heart out of love for Christ, and that's all. And they suffered an untimely death. I say untimely, but God knew about it. It's not untimely at all. But we look at it from an outsider's view, and we say, what a horrible calamity that was. Why did God let that happen? I don't know. I can't answer that. I cannot answer that. Why God let that happen. I remember standing, and I believe it was 1991, if I'm not mistaken. I was standing filling up the vending machine. I was working for a vending company, and I was standing at the junior college up here in the boys' dorm in the vending room, and there was a television screen on, and they were showing the Waco compound, the Branch Davidian compound, and I'm putting drinks in that machine. And all of a sudden, I see that tank go in the side, and a minute later, the thing's in flames. And you may say, well, them people got what they deserved. Well, undoubtedly, there were some really messed up people in there. No, without a doubt. David Koresh was a very messed up individual who had a God complex. But let me tell you something. There were a bunch of little kids in there who hadn't come to the age of accountability, who couldn't decide one way or the other for themselves with a clear mind. So therefore, those were innocent children that burned to death in that place. And that's a calamity. And we say, why would God allow that to happen? Listen, we can go all down through history. We can look at all the events. I mean, even in Jesus' day, there were calamities taking place. This has always happened. We look at the world sometimes, we say, oh, Jesus has got to come back. Look at all the stuff that's going on. But you know what? The only thing is, you don't have the newspaper reports of what happened way back then. There were tragedies every day. I was reading a little bit of a message from Charles Spurgeon on this same text. And he preached this just 2 weeks after a train in 1861. During the time when the Civil War first took place here in America, there was two trains that had crashed inside of a tunnel, steam engines, hundreds of people, 20-something of them died either under the train tracks, under the rails of the cars, or they were crushed, or they were burned, scalded to death by steam, hundreds injured, and then less than a week later, another crash. In another place, a bunch of people burned to death. And that was shocking to the city of London. And he was addressing the same subject. He chose this scripture to say that calamities happen all the time. And he said, can you imagine that some preachers are in pulpits around London saying these people must have been horrible sinners? Why? Because it happened on Sunday. And they said if they hadn't been traveling on Sunday, this wouldn't have happened to them. As if that were the reason they all died. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. That all the people that were in the Twin Towers on 9/11, were they greater sinners than we are because they were there and they had to die? No. No. I'm here to tell you this morning, good people die. Good people die in horrible ways. But I'm going to tell you, this life is not what we judge things by as far as judgment goes. God's not going to take somebody out in a horrible manner because they were a horrible sinner. Listen, God is going to judge us in the life to come. It's not in this life. Oh, yes, what you do with Christ in this life you'll be judged on, but you'll not be judged in this life. You'll be judged once you leave it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Thank God this world is not what we base how God loves us, because God says it rains on the just and the unjust. Listen, just because things, listen, I mean, all the martyrs that have taken place from the time of Christ all the way down, and before, all the prophets that were killed for preaching the Word of God. I mean, if we're going to look at it and say, well, you know what, you can judge by what happens to somebody in this life whether or not God loves them, we look at that and say, well, God hated all of his prophets, and God has hated all those who stood unflinchingly on the Word of God down through history. If we looked at that and said, well, what happened to them in this life shows whether or not God loves them. That's not how we judge it. Those who were chained up and their bodies pulled apart, and those who were impaled upon spikes, and those who were flayed, their flesh pulled off them with pliers and roasted and boiled in oil, pulled apart by horses. So many different ways they killed them, and so many wicked, horrifying ways that they tried to inflict as much pain as possible. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Thank God this is not how we look at it and say, well, this proves God loves me because of my circumstances. This proves God loved him because he died in his sleep versus dying in a car crash, wrapped around a telephone pole or crushed inside of a vehicle, or burned to death. Listen, we know God loved him. He died a peaceful death and never was sick. No, you don't judge somebody by that. You know, David looked at the situation, and David had a hard time with it for a little while. I'm going to read this verse of Scripture to you from Psalm chapter 37. Let me find where I want to start. All right, verse 35, David said in chapter 37, he said, I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. So David said, you know, I looked at that. I saw, you know, wicked nations rise up and them get very, very powerful and their kingdom growing. But you know what? When David got around the Lord, he realized something. He thought on that, and that confused him. But he realized something. He said, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. You know what? God may allow them. God's going to... Listen, when Hitler rose to power, I'm sure there were lots of people who scratched their head and said, how could God allow such a thing to take place? When there were millions and millions of Jews being sent to the ovens and the gas chambers, I'm sure there were plenty of people who stood by scratching their heads saying, what is God doing? How is God letting this take place? I believe it was when Russia, when Stalin, they killed some 60 million people. People said, well, how could that such a thing take place? All of the dictators down through history that have murdered countless people we look at it and we say, how would God let that happen? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. This world, right now, this world, the only hope there is in this world, the only hope is Jesus Christ. There is no hope in government. There is none. This government we have now, I wouldn't trust it for anything. There is no stability there. There is no hope there. There is no help coming from there. There is no future in America. There is no future in this world. Only destruction. Only death. That's this world. This world is a world of death and destruction. But thank God this world is not my home. Thank God this world is not what I'm seeking after. Thank God this world is not what I'm looking for to give me the what I'm looking for, which is peace, which is joy, which is happiness. People die. War takes place. Innocent people die. Plagues hit. Innocent people die. Disasters take place. Innocent people die. Those things don't discriminate. So my question is this. Are we better people than those who have died in those calamities? No. Of course not. But you know what? If we take that rationale that because something terrible happened to them, they deserved it. Obviously, we didn't know about what it was, but obviously they deserved it. And I've known people, again, people, good people, good-meaning people who have that opinion. But I'm here to tell you, that's not the case. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, read it real quick. Acts chapter 3, verse 9. I don't think I marked that. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Yeah, I did. So, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, repent. He said, repent. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's Peter talking. But understand this. He's saying he's got the same message as Jesus. That's really all that matters in this world, is that you repent. That you repent, that your sins are blotted out. That's all that truly matters in this world. And that's why I ask the question, are you ready? So let's go back to Christ's statement. Let's look at Christ's statement before we close this morning. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Well, why not me? Why not me? Why not me? Why not something like that happen to me? Why not a calamity overtake me? How do I know something like that's not going to take place? How do I know something's not going to get me tomorrow? I mean, am I shielded in some kind of armor where I'm protected from some kind of calamity taking place? I mean, am I under some special protection to where I'm not going to get sick? Or am I under some type of special protection where I'm not going to die in an accident? Or I'm not going to, or war's not going to come to this country? Or I'm not going to have to face some kind of a cruel government to punish me? I mean, who am I? Listen to me, and who are you that it won't happen to you? We live in this life of comfort where we think nothing bad is going to happen to us because we're saved. But the truth of it is, it can happen to anybody. And I ask those listening to me this morning, why not you? How do you know something's not going to happen to you today? How do you know tomorrow? How do you know that it's not going to happen? We're just gambling every day that it's not going to take place. or worse. I've known good people. Man, it's like it led to singing in our church when I was growing up. A good man. Man came in off the road. I don't know if he was a hitchhiker or what he was. He had a gas station. He robbed this man, the song leader, stabbed him to death with a Phillips screwdriver. He didn't think that was the way he was going to go out of this world. Tragic. Tragic for a family. Tragic for a church. But Buddy Perkinson went out of this world saved. And he went to meet Jesus. Let me ask you this question. Aren't you as bad a sinner as everybody else? We can't look at other people and say, oh, they're worse than me. They're terrible. How horrible those sinners. You and I, even if our actions, hear me this morning, even if our actions aren't as bad as others, the thoughts of our heart are, the thoughts that we don't act on are, the things that we have to put down. Listen, and what am I saying? All I'm saying is this. There is none of us any better than the other. All of us are wicked to the core. And it's only that those of us who have come by God's drawing of His Holy Spirit, it's only those of us who have come by God pleading with us from the Scripture and the Holy Spirit of God drawing us and showing us that we need to be forgiven, that we need to have a payment made for our sins that satisfies the wrath of Almighty God. And there's only one payment as such, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ that has to be applied and cover us. Just like the blood was put over the doorposts in Egypt so that the Israelites would not lose their firstborn child. Listen, that blood represented the blood of Jesus that covers the sinner who's saved by grace. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm here to tell you plain and simple, if Jesus' blood is not applied to your life, you will die in your sins and you will go to hell for all eternity. There is no other way around it. No calamity on this earth. No death on this earth, whether by burning, crushing, tearing, grinding, whatever the worst imaginable death you can find, is nowhere imaginably close to the sufferings of hell for eternity. And none of us are going to escape death. Every one of us could be gone tomorrow. None of us have a guaranteed moment. So I guess my third question on this second point is this, and my last question, are you prepared to die? Are you prepared to die? Because death could call today. Are you prepared to die? You say, preacher, are you prepared? Yes, I'm prepared. Are you better than everybody else? No. Matter of fact, I'm probably worse than most. But I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I have forgiveness of sins because Jesus died for me. And I came to Him in repentance and faith. You say, what does that word repentance mean? It's not a complicated word. Man makes that word complicated. But that word repentance, it means a change of mind. It means a change of mind. Let me explain to you. A lost man thinks he's going to find out when he dies whether or not he's good enough. A lost man has the idea that when he dies, he'll face God, and his good and his bad will be weighed side by side. And if his good that he did in this life outweighs his bad, that God will say to him, come on into my heaven. But that is a lie straight out of the pit of hell. No one will be judged by their good or their bad, because all of our righteousness, as the Bible says, are as filthy rags. That filthy rag is referring to a pus-filled rag that was wiped by the lepers as they traveled on a post outside town. A rag was provided for them to wipe the pus from their sores. That's the rag that the Lord is referring to when He talks about filthy rags. The best that you or I could ever do is like that rag hanging on that post before God. Nothing you and I have ever done has ever pleased God one bit. The only thing that will please God is what Jesus has done. And if we have believed the message. And I'd say to you this morning, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, whatever shape you find yourself in this morning, come to Christ. Come to Christ. I'll share this story before I close. There was a woman who had attended a church service many years ago. She brought her daughter, who had gotten saved somewhere, and I don't even know where she had gotten saved. But she brought her to church. And I could tell something was off with the woman. But during the invitation, the girl came forward, the mother came, brought her daughter forward and said, "This is my daughter Christina, and I want her to get baptized. She got saved last week." And I gave the daughter a thorough examination, and she said, yes, absolutely. According to her testimony, she had believed on Christ, and she had become a Christian, and she wanted to be baptized. And after the service was concluded, we went out back, and I baptized Christina in a tank of water. And then the mother said to me, "Well, I need to talk to you. Me and my husband," her husband had shown up. The husband said, they said, "We need to talk to you." And I brought them into the office, and I asked them, "If you died, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven?" And neither one of them could tell me for sure that they knew that they were going to heaven. I gave the gospel as plain and as simple and as clearly as I possibly could. And the husband received Christ, and I asked the wife, and I said, "What about you?" And she said, I want to, but I can't." And I looked her in her eyes, and I said, "Why can't you?" And she said, "Because I'm an alcoholic." And I said to her, I said, "Ma'am, have you ever heard, do you know the song, Just As I Am?" And she said, "That's my favorite gospel song." And I said, "Well, have you ever listened to the words while you're singing? Because it says, just as I am, without one plea, got no excuse. I have nothing to bring. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing, just as I am, an alcoholic. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee." Jesus is saying, come to me. So you're an alcoholic, come to me and be saved. Come to me though you're living in adultery. Come to me and be saved. Come to me though you're living a life of sodomy, homosexuality. Come to me and be saved. Come to me though you've had abortions. Come to me and be saved. Come to me though you've murdered before. Come to me though you're a thief. Come to me, whatever you may be. Come to me and be saved. Jesus only saves wicked sinners. You say, come to me and be saved. How do I come? You turn from your way, which is going to send you to hell. You give it up. You say, Jesus, I realize my way is wrong. My way leads to destruction. And you turn around and face him and say, I want to be saved. I believe upon you. I trust you. Believe in your heart and be saved. Let's see what the Bible says before we close this morning. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a righteous person on earth without the blood of Jesus Christ. None, nowhere, nobody. Nobody's good enough. No one can save themselves. No one. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. What we get if we deserve, what we get if we get what we deserve is death, to die and go to hell. The Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, except you repent, except you turn from your way and realize that I'm standing here and I am the Messiah, you're going to die in your sins. That's what he was saying to them. Unless you realize I'm he, unless you believe on me, you're going to die in your sins. Doesn't matter how you die. Just know that all are going to. And we can all die today. Make sure. Make absolutely, positively sure that you can go back in your mind to a time and a place. Maybe you don't remember what time it was, but you can find the place when you believed on Christ. If you can't find that place, if you can't remember where that place was, if you can't remember where you were, then I would say, my friend, you better get saved. Salvation is the only thing that matters. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray. Pray for the one right now who's making a decision. I pray, Lord, and I want to encourage them to believe. There's so much to be had in Jesus. There's so much life to be had. I never even knew what it was to live until I became a believer. Lord, there's so much to have in you. And I pray for that one who's right on the border of believing, Lord, right on the edge. I pray, Father, for them. I pray, Lord, that you strengthen their faith in you, Lord, and that you give them the faith to believe. And I pray, Lord, that, Lord, if they get saved, they just send us a note and let us know that they trusted Christ through listening to this program, Lord. It'll bless my heart beyond measure. Lord, I want to rejoice with them. Father, I just ask you, please, save someone this morning. That they, Lord, they might call on you by faith and, Lord, and just believe and just ask you to be their Savior, letting you know that they believe from their heart. And, Lord, I ask you, please, to urge them once they've believed on you to let someone know, to speak it out loud, to tell someone else of what's happened on the inside. And, Lord, and then get find a Bible-believing church, one that preaches the old King James Bible. Lord, I pray they'd get online, find a place where the truth is preached. And, Lord, they'd go to it and they'd become a part of it. And, Lord, be blessed and be around other believers that will encourage them in their walk with Jesus. Lord, I pray as we go into this new year, I pray, Lord, as we face 2019, we don't know what it holds. We don't know if we'll make it out of it alive. But, Father, we know this. If we are in Christ, we have everything. Lord, this world is not our home. In this world, we've been told this world's not our home. We've been told in this life we're going to have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And, Lord, I know that when I see you face to face, all the woes, all the troubles, all the calamities of this life will not matter. And I look forward to that day, Jesus, when I see you face to face. Lord, I pray for my family, my friends, Lord, my acquaintances, and, Lord, those I don't even know, that this year, this coming year, we will draw into a closer relationship with Christ than we've ever had before. Lord, I pray for the salvation of souls, and I pray for you to continue to bless the Old Paths Broadcast and Faith Baptist Church. Bless us and help us as we seek to serve you, and we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise today. In Christ's name, amen.